Morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. That was such an appropriate hymn, Christmas song that we just sang together. Away in a manger. No crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. There's another Christmas song that it's not among the ones that you sing often, but it has a verse that goes something like this: no place for the Lord but a stable. No way he could pillow his head. The poor little town was unable to find for him one little bed. No place but the stable. No bed but the hay. The King of the ages a slumbering lay. We're going to ask the question that the wise men, the Magi, ask as we turn in Matthew chapter 2. Question that should help us to think again this morning and think anew this Christmas season. As far as we are concerned, as far as our hearts are concerned, as far as celebrations are concerned, just where does he fit in? Where is he? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." This question that the wise men ask came forcibly to me in recent days, as I thought of the season and what it means. Where does he figure? in my celebration? Where is he in, as it relates to my heart? We find, beloved, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, as we search the scriptures and we go in search of the Messiah, each time and each reference we have before us, the answer to the question, where is he? It's always on the outside. He is on the outside. This was the case in his birth. When Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, the inn was full, and there was no place for him, so he had to be on the outside. And as we think of today, in the hearts of many, the world at large in Christendom, you ask the question, where is he? And the answer will be the same. He's outside. He has been crowded out by other things. No room. Could you imagine the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, taking on him human flesh and coming to this earth, and they couldn't find a place, not a room for him? I think the scripture tells us why. The Bible tells us that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so many of our songs express that, but I like the spiritual that says, and I'm going to quote some of the words, the way it was written, sweet little Jesus boy, we didn't know who you was. That's the way it was written. We treated you badly. We couldn't find a bed. We couldn't find a room because we did not recognize you. And so you must go outside. You know, the wise men asked the question. And so did Herod. That maniacal despot. They asked the question for different reasons. The wise men said, we have seen his star in the east. Our purpose is to worship him. We know who he is. Herod said, I want to worship him also, but his motive was to destroy him. Even though he was a wicked man, he killed so many members of his family, it's not funny. And he ended up killing the boys in Bethlehem as well, 2 years old and under. But he recognized that this baby that they're talking about, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. This baby's coming to take my place. So he called the scribes. And he inquired of them where. The wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. Herod said, bring me word again when you have found him, that I may worship him also. But his intentions were not to worship, but to destroy. Isn't that what the Bible says? Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Herod wanted to destroy him. Just in case. Those who don't believe, Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem by accident over 700 years before he came. And that's what the scribes referred Herod to. He says, when he asked where the Christ should be born, they told him in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, for that's what the Bible says. They were responsible for recording the scriptures. They were responsible for keeping the biblical records. And so he called them. He didn't ask them. He demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they told him, based on the word of God, Micah 5 and 2 tells it very clearly. And he had to have believed that because he sent there in search of him. Where is he? In the record in Luke chapter 2, it tells us very clearly that there was no room inside. Outside in his birth. And when the angel announces birth to the shepherds there in chapter 2, they told them very clearly, it says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, that protective wrap around him. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's where he is. He's not in the 5-star hotel. He's not even in the moderate price inn. He is outside in his birth. And for too many, he is still outside. We can't find room because we have crowded him out with everything else. We don't want him in our celebrations. We don't want his name mentioned. Because he has become, to so many, a rock of offense, a stumbling block. Have you noticed that how so many people are willing to talk about God? I say, well, we believe in God as well. We believe in God. We worship the same God. But you mention Jesus. You mention the Christ. And they will be troubled the same way Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem. Because we don't want him. And Jesus says, you believe in God? We believe in God, we believe in God. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. You can't come to God except through me. Through me. One of the verses that hostile people to the gospel hate is when we tell them, Jesus says, I am the way, one way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They hate that verse of that passion. They said that's narrow-minded. Maybe it is. Didn't Jesus say narrow is the way that leadeth to life? Of course, there's only one way. That's the way. But he was outside in his birth. During his life, beloved, where was he? During his life and ministry, where was he? He was outside. Outside the religious circles. Outside all those a people who did not believe. They wouldn't even recognize him as the son of David. You know, the people who called him the son of David, the promised one, the promised Messiah, a blind man who had never seen anything, Bartimaeus, he said, "You are the son of David," a Syrophoenician woman, a woman destined for judgment. She says, "You are the son of David." And the Pharisees says, and they were supposed to know the scriptures, that says, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. We know his mother. We know his father. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Outside, they kept him outside during his ministry, his life. They kept him outside. And Jesus had to say, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He was outside constantly in his ministry. Of course, there were exceptions. There were homes that he was welcomed in. We know we think of Bethany and other places, and he was welcomed there. But he didn't have a prominent place during his ministry. No place for the Savior. I think it was Mr. Darby who said he began in a manger and ended on the cross. And along the way, he had no place to lay his head. No permanent place of abode during his ministry. At the onset of his ministry, very early, after John the Baptist had declared him the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world, two of his disciples heard him speak. One was Andrew, and the other one is not named, but most scholars believe it was John himself, and he's too modest to put it down. They began to follow Jesus, Andrew and that other disciple. And the question came from Andrew and the other disciple, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Where? And Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and see." Where is he? And we fail to go to the place. We fail to go to the place where we can find him. We go to all the wrong places. Come and see. Outside, during his life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. The Son of God came to this earth and he was poor, very poor. If you listen to the prosperity preachers, they to contradict that. But one of them says, you know, this question is asked, what would Jesus do and what would Jesus drive? And this prosperity preacher says he would drive a Rolls Royce. And said, how come? It's because when he rode into Jerusalem, he came on a new donkey. He says, Jesus wasn't poor, he said. Jesus wore designer clothes. He had that coat that was seam down the middle. That was a designer coat. That's not the coat of a poor man and all sorts of nonsense. And people send money to these jokers. I don't know. They probably didn't work hard for their money. Probably didn't. You send money to these jokers. That's the best he can do. But I read in the scriptures, beloved, when he was born, Mary, Joseph, the sacrifice of purification they brought, the poor man's gift, the poor people's gift. They didn't bring a lamb. They couldn't afford that. that brought the birds, the young pigeon and the turtle dove. So much for being wealthy. Outside in his life, outside during his ministry, they would have nothing. Where is he? You remember the blind man that he healed in John chapter 9? And he was in the synagogue, and his parents were in the synagogue, and his parents refused to say that Jesus healed him. All they were prepared to say, he's our son, so we know he was born blind, but as to how he is seeing, you ask him, he's of age, because they were threatened if any man owned that Jesus was the Christ would be cast out of the synagogue. And this blind man challenged them every time they bring up something negative to say about Jesus. He would challenge them. You call him a sinner? Has a sinner ever opened the eyes of the blind? And you say this about him? We know that God doesn't hear sinners. And they start to ridicule him. It says, you know, you were born altogether in sin, and you're going to teach us? I wonder if that's what the disciples had in mind when they asked Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a question. How could he sin when he wasn't born? He was born blind. Who sinned? This man or his parents? And probably that's what they were throwing back at him. So eventually they threw him out of the synagogue. And guess what? When they threw him out, he met Jesus, because Jesus was outside. Outside. Outside of the religious circles, outside of Judaism, that kept him out. When Jesus heard they threw him out, Jesus met him on the outside. And Jesus asked him, do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? So you're talking to him. He believed and he worshipped him. That's what the wise men did when they found him. They worshipped him. They presented unto him gifts worthy of his name. That's what you and I do, beloved, when we found the Savior. We brought him our hearts, our love, our devotion. They gave him gold because they recognized that he was king. He was deity. He was God manifest in the flesh. And they were not Jews. He came unto his own things, and his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. They gave him gold, and they say, you are deity. You are God in the flesh. They gave him frankincense because of the fragrance of his holy life that would bring honor and glory to God the Father, the life that pleased the Father, that fragrant, holy, spotless life that he would manifest here on this earth. And they gave him myrrh because they too recognize that he was born to die, that he was going to die. Outside, the Pharisees stumbled over him. He became a rock of offense to the Jews. And whenever he would claim to be the Son of God, they would take up stones to stone him. A rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. He was in their midst and they did not recognize him. Where is he? He was outside. Outside in his ministry. You know when he died? Where did you think he died? Outside. They judged him there inside, but after they condemned him, they took him away and they led him away outside the walls of Jerusalem. They won't have him buried there lest he defile their city. In his death, they led him away. One hymn writer put it this way: there is a green hill far away, without the city walls, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. They led him to Golgotha so all the people can pass by. They can wag their heads and they can insult him. He was outside. John tells us in chapter 19 that the place was near, it was outside the city walls. Where is he? Outside in his death. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 13. You know the story of the Levitical offerings, don't you? And you know the types and shadows in the tabernacle system. You know what the sin offering, they took the animals, they took them outside the outer gate, outside from the environs of the tabernacle, and they slew those animals and they took the blood and they brought it in. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the antitype. He also was taken outside. But I can't say it better than it's written here in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 10 says, we have an altar of which they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. Those Jewish believers who were still following the tabernacle system, or Jews anyway. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, that's a sin offering, are burned outside the camp, outside the camp. That's the type. And this is the antitype. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Where is he? In his birth, outside, in a manger. In his life, outside the synagogue, outside the mainstream, outside of Judaism, they kept him out. In his death, outside, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Oh, beloved, we have to reject all the religious stuff that keeps Christ out. We go outside the camp. That's where he met the blind man after they threw him out. If you think you're going to find him in these religious celebrations in Christendom, these man-made orders and things like that, he's not there. He's outside. Joseph of Arimathea went for his body. along with Nicodemus. Again, they wrapped him. He was wrapped in his birth and he was wrapped in his death. They wrapped him, his body, in a clean cloth. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. A tomb not his own, no place. No place for him in his birth, no place for him in his life and ministry, no place for him in his death. That's bad enough. I hesitated there because I want to see if I can cover something else, but let's move on. You say, oh, that's terrible. They couldn't find a place for the Lord, a proper place for him to be born. Where is he when it comes to the local church? Where is he? I think it's a fair question. Where is he? We hear all sorts of stories that in the church we have to cater to certain people. So we don't want to talk about morbid things. So we're not going to talk about sacrifice. So forget about that. We're not going to talk about blood. That's not something you want to talk about. Where is he? Well, the Bible gives us a glimpse of a particular church. It's called Laodicea. And guess where he is? You say he can't be outside a church? Oh, yeah? Okay. Let's read what the Bible says. Let's just pick it up at verse 20. This church boasting of its achievements and boasting of its riches and boasting of all the things they have gained in life. They say, we have need of nothing, not even him. We don't need him. So we don't sing about the blood anymore. We don't need that. We don't need that stuff. Oh, let's just tell the people about living the good life, being good. Let's teach self-improvement courses how we can elevate ourselves. Let us talk about the golden rule. Don't let us talk about blood and sacrifice. But the Bible says Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Blood. So there's no redemption apart from blood. You agree? Suffered. Outside the gate. Jesus, he addressed seven churches, seven local assemblies. He's at Laodicea. Where is he? Let's hear what he says. Behold, verse 20, Revelation 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You never find anybody knocking to get out. You don't find that. You don't knock to get out. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come out. No, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What a state for a church. The Lord is outside. I heard a story of a lady who was trying to get into one church, and every time she goes, and they'd have a meeting with her, and they find every reason not to let her in. Oh, we can't let you in. You have to go and do this. You have to go and pray. You have to go and memorize this. And on and on, she goes on weeks, months. She kind of got tired. She got despondent and discouraged. She heard the voice of the Lord saying, if I were you, I won't worry. I've been trying to get into that church for years and they won't let me in either. Where is he? He's outside. Are we seeking him? The Lord said to his people, in captivity, you shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. The wise men certainly did. Outside of the church, he wants to come in. Outside in the religious circles, outside altogether, outside in the celebrations of the church, we don't want to mention him. Because we are taking on society. We are conforming to society. And society has told us they don't want any Christmas message, any carols that hail him as Lord. We don't want that. We don't want any cross. We don't want any nativity scene. We don't want no Madonna and child in our stands. We want to eliminate him, to erase him from our national consciousness. So the children can't sing away in a manger at school, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. They can't sing that in school. So they're taking that away and not giving us jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, rock. You never heard that? You trying to tell me you never heard that? Jacob. And Santa Claus is coming to town. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Frosty the snowman. That's what they have given us, given our children. Because it says we want to leave him out. No carols. No prayers in Jesus' name. Where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Oh, that would be our motive this Christmas season. Really see him. We really behold him. And we would be like the shepherds. Let us even go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us this day. Oh, and they went away shouting and singing and praising God for all the things that they had seen. Society says, no Christmas, just happy holidays. I was amazed just last week, and somebody was greeting another one, and it was only like December 8th or 9th, unless I missed the calendar, and all they said to them, Happy New Year. Wow, we got about 3 weeks to go. Christmas comes before you. Happy New Year. Well, he's out of their consciousness. He's out of their vocabulary. He's out! Isaiah 55 and 6 says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon him. Are you looking? Are you seeking? Seeking to know him more. And those who haven't met him, are you looking for him? Are you seeking the Savior? It says that him that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is the Messiah. The wise man says he was born king. Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me close with back with John. We referred to it, but we didn't go down here. Let me close at John chapter 1. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? I'm gonna end in John chapter 1. I talk about the two disciples of John who heard John speak and followed Jesus. And one of them was Andrew. Andrew found his brother Peter, Simon. But this is what Andrew said. He first, verse 47 of chapter 1, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. We have found him, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Oh, beloved, if you miss everything else, when you gather to celebrate your Christmas season, recognize that the babe in the manger was the Messiah. The angel says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ. That's the Greek form of Messiah. Who is Christ, the Lord, the Anointed. That's who he is. And Andrew very early, he understood when he met Jesus that he is the Messiah, which is being interpreted, he is the Christ. Of course, Peter came and Jesus changed his name. And now he's a witness. And they witnessed to Philip. And Philip went to Nathanael. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, no, before that. Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. We have found him. That's all the time I have, beloved. But I want the question to linger. Where is he? We know what the wise men found. We know what their intentions were. But let us take an inward look. Let us take a look at our celebrations. Take a look at all the things we emphasize. And where does he fit in? Where is he? Well, I can't do that with Jesus here, so we're going to put Jesus out and we're going to bring these things in. And we put him out. He was outside in his birth. He was outside in his life. Outside in his death. Outside of all the celebrations. Finally, he found himself on the outside of the church. Let him in. May he be the centerpiece. May he be the focus of our celebration this season. May he be in the center of all that we have and do. Good to be with you, beloved. Thanks for having us. We enjoy being with you throughout this year. Have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy it with your families and loved ones. Make sure we read the Christmas story. We take them to Bethlehem. A lot of people go into the North Pole. It's not there. Looking for a miracle on 34th Street. It's not there. Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. God bless his word. And in the will of the Lord, we see you in the new year. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy wondrous love. We thank thee for thy mercies and for thy grace. And we thank thee for thy great salvation. We thank thee for the words of Simeon. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast given to all people, light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh, that many would see that light today as they go in search of the Christ child. We give thee thanks as we ask thy blessing in parting. Bless the saints, bless all the families represented, and may Jesus Christ be prominent in our lives and our celebration this season. We We pray and give thanks as we ask thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.